بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ذكري الله تعالى. We had the blessings of listening to سورة النور. عمر رضي الله عنه is amongst the wisest persons of this ummah. They say there were three very intelligent people in the world. One was the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam. She advised the father, Ya Abatista Ajir. Because of constraints, we have to leave the house. They're saying, Abuna Shaykhun Kabir. They're saying that we, women, we're supposed to be in the house. That was our place. But what can we do? Our father, Shaykhun Kabir, is very old, advanced, lost his sight. When he lost his sight, now, someone has to do the home chores. So because of this pitiable condition, we have to leave the house and do the chores of the house. Otherwise, there will be starvation. Now, as they come across Musa alayhi salam, so the girl says straight away, employ him now. Ya Abatis Tajir. Employ him. Because now that he'll be employed, it will save us from going out of the house. He's getting a salary. He's offering a service. And he's at an advantage. We are at an advantage. Our modesty and shame, our home, and that's the place of a woman. So we will be around. Inna khayra man ista'ajarta al-qawiyyul amin. And she made out that Musa alayhi salam was a strong person and an honest and a reliable person. In any work that you are doing, you need these two things: honesty and reliability. The man is very honest, but he's not reliable. Then too is not right. He's honest, but he's not strong. That means he's not capable to do the work. But he's honest, but he's not capable. So the work cannot be done. And if he's capable, but he's not honest, then too you will have problems. So she says the best person is the person that is capable, strong, and apart from that, he is also honest. So that was the one clever person of this world, the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam. Her modesty she guarded, and she guided the father in the right way. The second person that was very intelligent was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu appointed Umar radiallahu anhu to be his vicegerent. Because he now about to leave the world, then the best person to stand in my place now is Umar radiallahu anhu. Someone had warned Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know, Umar is a very hard person. He's a bit aggressive. Don't you fear Allah Ta'ala that you are appointing someone aggressive and hard over the Ummah? His reply was, are you frightening me of Allah Ta'ala? If I meet Allah Ta'ala, then I will say that I've appointed the best person. خَيْرُ مَنْ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ. I appointed the best person to stand in my place. And number two, his firm approach was because of me being very lenient and gentle. But when I won't be around, then he will neutralize. I am soft, and someone has to be firm for the administration to go. So if there's going to be only softness, and there's not going to be a person that's going to be firm and strong, then it can't work out. So this was Umar radiallahu anhu. His intelligence, his sight, his vision. So if you study Umar radiallahu anhu, the vision he had, the sight that he had, understanding that he had, that was at a different level. Amongst the things that he had brought about was he had asked women not to come to the masjid. Aisha radiallahu anhu also did the same, and had Umar radiallahu anhu did the same. Women, you do your namaz and do your namaz in the home. Don't leave your homes. The reason they gave was لو علم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما صنعت النساء لمنعهن المساجد كما منعت نساء بني إسرائيل. If Rasul Pakistan was alive and he saw the mischief that has started now in women, he would have definitely stopped them from coming to the masjid. They saw what's going on. The permission that was allowed in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was under four conditions. One was tarkut tazayyun. They mustn't dwell themselves out when leaving the house. They mustn't make up. Number two, the second condition was adamut tatayyur. They mustn't wear any type of perfume when leaving out the house. Come what may, but they mustn't wear any type of perfume. The third condition was adamu khawfil fitna. There must be no fear of any fitna, any wrong. And the fourth condition was that it must be غَيْرُ شَابَّ. Must be an old woman, not a young woman. So these conditions prevailed in the day of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu brought it to a stop. When he brought it to a stop, right, now if someone is going to open this door, I ask you, can you control and can you regulate all these things here? See that there's no tazayyun, no dwelling themselves, no wearing of perfume, no fear of fitna. Are you able to control it? When you're not able to control it, then why create mischief? Umar radiallahu anhu stopped the door of mischief, evil, corruption. As though when you're opening the door, you're saying, that no, I control the mischief. But you're not in a position of controlling the mischief, then why should you open the door? Simple thing is, say a woman is going to a masjid, and she's dolled up, or she's wearing perfume. Have you got strength to ask her, go home? Correct yourself. Have you got the strength? Even the trustee of the masjid can't do it. The man now has gone so weak. He's gone so weak that he can't even correct her. So then when you can't correct her, you became so weak, then accept that you are born weak and then just let her remain in the house. In the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were controlling it. And Abu Bakr's time, they could control it. Now they lost the control. When they lost the control, then accept your defeat. Don't pretend. So then it's half a job. You're allowing it, but you're not controlling it. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was the one that introduced or 20 rakat Taraweeh. He was the one who had initially collated the Quran Sharif. The first person who was the catalyst to collate, bring the Quran Sharif in one place, was Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He suggested to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know, some Sahaba Kiram are passing away, and Aksha and Tazhab Ma'ahum Kaseerum Min Al Quran. Now, if you don't want to collect the Quran Sharif, he's got one sipara, he's got two surahs, he's got three surahs. As they pass on, then some part of the Quran Sharif may go with them. So now before that happens, let's get the Quran Sharif together. But Abu Bakr objected and said, كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَصْنَعُهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. How can you do something that Rasulullah did not do? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala did not have to give a lengthy debate. He says, فِي خَيْرٍ. What I'm saying is good in it, think about it. Alright? Rasulullah did not bring it to one place. And Rasulullah was around. When he was around, so if we wanted to know about any verse, it was a referral point. Now that he's not around, then where's going to be who are you going to refer to? So he didn't have to give a lengthy debate. Hatta sharah Allah sadra Abi Bakr. So Abu Bakr now, his heart opened out, you know what Umar is saying is right. Hence at length the whole Quran Sharif was gathered together in one place. Then he also instructed that the Quran Sharif must be recited in Taraweeh in 20 rakats. So now, why won't the Shias hate her Umar radiallahu? Because they are not for Taraweeh namaz. And number two is this, they are against the Quran Sharif in a lot of respects. They say it's not complete. Some verses are missing out. Like they say that wal asr supposed to be wal asr wa ajaib al-dahr. So we say wal asr inna al-insan lafi khusr. They say that it's supposed to be wal asr wa ajaib al-dahr. And we read alam nashrah laka sadrak wa wada'na anka wizrak. So it's supposed to be alam nashrah laka sadrak wa ja'ala, no, alam nashrah laka sadrak wa ja'alna aliyan laka sihrak. So this verse is missing. So Umar radiallahu anhu stopped all his mischief. Before all his mischief could start off, it was 41 place. Nobody can add anything and nobody can delete it. And then you see to it that the Quran Sharif is recited every year in the month of Ramadan. I say when Ramadan comes, you should be making so much of dua while Umar radiallahu anhu. You think to yourselves that we, with so much of emotions and passions, we make our children half recite. I ask you, if it wasn't a thing like Taraweeh, would they have had an occasion to memorize and remember and preserve the Quran Sharif? They've learned it and forgotten it. But now they've read the Taraweeh. You see Ramadan time, that half his students are swinging. Listen to me. I got the first 10 rakats. You got the first 10 rakats. Please listen to me. So it's because of this sight of this man here that millions of people remember and preserve the Quran Sharif. So aren't we supposed to be making dua for him? Amongst the things, and then he was a person that was inspired. لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ مُحْدَثٍ. No, every ummah had someone that was inspired. This man was inspired. Had Umar radiallahu anhu. Some suggestions he made, and the Quran Sharif was revealed in conformity. He suggested that وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, that after the tawaf, then you should be making two rakat of namaz around the maqam Ibrahim. And exactly the verse was here, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. So he said, I don't know how many times I suggested something, and the so this is Umar radiallahu anhu, he was a man that was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he advised on one occasion that teach your girls Surah An-Nur. Has become a fashion for girls to memorize the Quran Sharif. Good, we're not against it. But what we're against is when I inquire from the husbands, right? That the wife of yours, she's a hafiza, then how much of Quran Sharif she reads every day? She became hafiz with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of yearning. They had a grand jalsa, and at the jalsa they gave some gifts, the names engraved, some advice also inside. But now I want to know now, how much of Quran Sharif does she receive? The normal answer I get is sometimes about quarter sipara in the week. So how on earth I will remember the Quran Sharif? So do something constructive for these girls, not something destructive. Hadith says that I had seen this ummah and their reward and their punishment. Right? And I haven't seen a sin worse than a person memorizing the Quran Sharif and thereafter forgetting it. So we are learning it as a fashion and with a lot of enthusiasm. But are they preserving the Quran Sharif with enthusiasm and a passion? Or is it just a showpiece? Or is it just now women are feeling that now if she's going to remain at home, then it's going to be too heavy for me. So let us outsource her until she gets married. So you're outsourcing her not because of piety, righteousness and fear of Allah Ta'ala, but she's in your way. So it was your duty to make her. It was your duty to make her. You're going to make her. You're not going to outsource her and make her. You're going to make her. So the mother is going to see to her. Small mistakes, big mistakes, small corrections, big corrections. Now if the mother is not going to attend to this, then invariably you will get a huge amount of domestic problems. The Jamiyat asked how much domestic problems they have, right? Now that is because the mother feels, no, I must outsource and someone else must take care of my child. That person that is teaching the madrasa, whoever it is that's teaching, his greater concern is the child must learn the subject and score good marks in my subject. Concern is not about being a good housewife, being good in domestic affairs, managing the whole home. She must score good marks in my subject. So how on earth is this girl going to be made? She doesn't know how to run the house. She doesn't know what it is to be a housewife. Now I say, no, send her. And then you have got problems thereafter. So no, my daughter can never be home. First wrong was you outsourced her. Then after that, when she's making mistakes and she's not familiar with the domestic affairs, then my daughter can never be home. She's always right. You get problems after that. You get a single parent. The child is tossed between the father and the mother. Then the mother is being spiteful. I'll fix you up. I won't allow you to see the child. So this is not Islam. This is some alien culture. It can be Shaitanism, it can be something else, but it's got nothing to do with Islam. So Umar radiyallahu asked that teach allimu nisa'akum surat an-nur, teach them. The second advice he gave, and don't teach them to write. Now it would be such a, like a big haram. Hey, don't even teach them to write. But this is the man, Umar radiyallahu says, la tu'allimuhunna al-kitabata, don't teach them to write. Now you see all the fitna and troubles that are taking place, because you started them off, right? There'll be very few who know how to manage themselves writing, but understand what I can do. Just restrict it to that point. How many of them know their limits? There'll be a fractional amount that know how to maintain the limits. Majority don't know. So no, my child can never fall into a fitna. Never fall. Then the wrong takes place after that. And then the third thing he says, that teach them to spin yarn, sewing, etc. Teach them all these things. That is everything that relates to the home front. Teach them all these things. Now, the interesting thing is to know, all right, what is in Surah Nur? That Umar radiallahu anhu, with great emphasis, says, "Allimuhunna Surah An-Nur." Teach them Surah Nur. There must be something in it. Why teach them Surah Nur? So, there's so many lessons in Surah Nur. Someone takes the time, understands the content, and then how it affects and how it connects to a woman's life. So, the first lesson that is in Surah An-Nur is the guarding of the tongue. Now, there's going to be information, right? And when information is disseminated, then how do you conduct yourself in the face of information? What do you do? Some news is floating around. And they say, the easiest way to get the news floating, you know, to publicize, publicity, easiest way to read is you go and leak it out to the barber shop and tell the barber shop not to leak it to anybody. So that news will go through the whole world with that message. No, he's telling you, don't tell anybody. Or report that thing to a woman with that message, you know, with a disclaimer, that don't mention it to anybody. So she'll tell the whole world with a disclaimer, don't mention it to anybody. So it's teaching you how do you conduct yourself in the face of information. What should you do? Now, there's an allegation, right? And this type of talks are very it's very spicy talks, because it doesn't relate to our reputation. It relates to someone else's reputation. And then we like this smearing of someone else's reputation. We like it. Take a relish in that. So the Quran Sharif is saying, what are you supposed to be doing in the face of information? Some information reaches you. What does it do? So there's about 5 guidelines. See, that means guarding the tongue. In other words, news going out and news coming in. Right? So the medium is the tongue, right? Then there can be other mediums of news going out and news coming in. One medium is the tongue, but it's not restricted, not confined to the tongue. So, news, how are you going to disseminate news? So, the first lesson the Quran says is, لَوْلَا إِسَّمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. You heard something wrong of a Muslim. Any Muslim, you heard something wrong, something that is not savory, not good, then how are you supposed to be responding to the news? ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. You think good of your folks. You think good of your folks. So how many of us do that? We hear some news of our folks that we think good of them. You know, this news here, it doesn't sound right. My brother is a good person. He's a Muslim, he's a good person. Our Mustafa used to say, for constructing a good opinion for your brother, there's reward. Even though he's not good, but you constructed a good opinion of your brother, reward. But you construct an evil opinion of your brother, then you are sinful. Because on the day of Qiyamah, when you're crossing over the Sirat, you had a wrong opinion, made an allegation of your brother. You stopped there, whilst the fire of Jahannam is striking from underneath, but you had made an allegation of your brother, provide, furnish the evidence. And when it's an allegation, where are you going to get the evidence from? How are you going to get it? So, talking is very cheap. Nowadays, social media, electronics, etc. And just going on a smearing campaign about anybody and everything, not realizing the damage that is caused. No, I'm thinking I'm doing something good. I must pass the message. But what is the Quranic advice? That something comes about, then have construct the right opinion about your brother. Then the second advice the Quran Sharif is giving, لَوْلَا إِسْسَمْعِتُمُهُ When you hear such news, say, سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ What are you supposed to be saying? No. Not right at all. This is an allegation, pure. Pure allegation. See that? So first, that you construct the right opinion. Number two, say this is an allegation. The third advice, قُلْتُمْ لَوْلَا إِسْتَمْعِتُمُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَنْ نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا It is not at all right for us to talk about these type of things. See that? Three advices. لَوْلَا إِسْتَمْعِتُمُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُ لَوْلَا إِسْتَمْعِتُمُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَنْ نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا مُهْتَانٌ عَظَامٌ See the Quranic guideline with regards to news and information. Do you ever take out the time to think now, right? Information, is it free for all just to pass on and whatever? Then the Quran Sharif sounds a warning. اِسْتَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ You are transmitting that news. No proof you have got. He said, I'm passing it. I'm making it viral. He passed it on, so I'm making it viral. تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ Just passing it off from one person to the other. Right? For things that you have no proof. تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا The worst of it is that you consider it to be a light and insignificant thing. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا This information here, there, idhar ki baat udhar ki baat idhar, creating fight, mischief, misunderstanding. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا You think and you consider it to be a very insignificant thing that makes it even worse. It compounds the thing. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ Whereas this is a serious matter inside of Allah. So there's going to be two people, either the person that's passing the news or the one that is receiving. Both are sinful. Now the one that receives the news, he says, no, I'm not sinful, I didn't pass the news. But you also were passionate to listen to that news. You also, listening to it with a passion. Imagine if it was you that was being charged, right? With allegations against you. And your son is looking at all the allegations with a passion. Will it be pleasing to you? Oh, scrap this. How can they speak about my father like this? Scrap that thing straight away. So series 4 verse in the Quran Sharif, how strict it is about information passing on or receiving. Passing information and receiving. Don't you see, most of the fights, troubles, misunderstanding is because of this misuse. Because the tongue is the medium, so therefore the tongue has been spoken about. But it's not restricted to the tongue. So, passing it and receiving. Both comes from the tongue, your tongue or someone else's tongue. You're passing it, your tongue. You're receiving it, someone else's tongue. So the tongue, see, and what it can do. Before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was advising Mu'adh ibn Jabal, right, radiyallahu anhu. Salatu imaduddin, namaz, is the central column of deen. Wasadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab al-rab. And charitable works, they extinguish, they put off the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sawmu, and fasting is a shield, it shields you. See, when fasting, farming must be. The tank, the fuel tank is empty. When the fuel tank is empty, there's no energy to do musti. So the musti only comes up when you fueled. So when you fueled, don't become a fool. We think now we need to be fueled so that we can become fools after that. So you see that the mischief starts off when you're fueled. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, and then Nabi Sam at the end is asking her, Mu'adh, awala adulluka ala milaki dhalika kulli. Can I show you something that will preserve all this, you know, all the good, you have namaz, zakat. See, in good deeds, there's two perspectives, right? One perspective is the deed itself, to do the deed. And the other perspective, other dimension is preserve it. Like in wealth, aren't there two paths? That you make the wealth, and then you learn how to preserve the wealth. I ask you, there's no system to have any banks, any checks and balances, right? No checks and balances, nothing. No auditing, no checks and balance, right? The reception, the dispatch, absolutely not, nothing. What's going to happen to the business? So exactly the same, you're doing good works. So one is the receiving of good works. And number two is preserving of the good works. So Umar radiallahu Muaz is being told, but I show you something that will preserve everything. That you collect, you acquired so much of gold, but you've got a holy pocket. So what happened? As fast as it came, it will go. In Tafsir al-Masri, there's a hadith under the verse, Iqra' kitabak kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. On the day of Qiyamah, the book of deeds is given to you. And then you are told that you can audit your own book. You can go through your own book. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. You don't need anybody to come and teach you how to audit the book. Nobody you require. You can do it yourself. So, the recipient of the book will complain to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I did a lot of works. I went to Umrah, Nafil Hajj. I built a masjid, I did all these things here, sunk a hole this side here, there. So I did a lot of things, but there's no mention in the book here. I did all these things here, but there's no mention of it in the book. My book of deeds. Allah will say, yes, you did this. There's no two ways you did the work. But you ill-mouthed that person, you made ghibat here, you lost all your rewards. Ghibat this side. Misuse of the tongue. So you acquired and you lost. You acquired and you lost. So the idea is you acquire and preserve. So, this side of the plan we aren't thinking about. We think about acquiring, but are we thinking about not losing? قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ. Who's the biggest failure? On the day of Qiyamah, who's the biggest failure? So his efforts were all waste. أَتَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ضَرَبَ هَذَا وَشَتَمَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. He swore someone, he abused, insulted, stole. So all that nakis, all that is being passed on. So, like you have to acquire, then you have to learn to preserve as well. And one of the holes that we have to protect ourselves is the tongue. Verify information. And why should we get involved in talks that don't concern us? It doesn't concern the dunya, doesn't concern the akhirat. Then, in the old days they used to say granny's tales. But now the tales become everybody's. Because it would seem like before only the grannies had time to make panchayat. Now everybody's got time. Everybody became grannies. Before they looked down upon it. But now it's a profession. To smear someone, run down someone, carry tales this side, that side. Before it was a panchayat, evil word, granny's tales. Now everybody's in the business. We see the evil. Okay. Then Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. You're going to make allegations, you're cursed. لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Especially if it's an innocent person, and you're going on a smearing campaign, then لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Both this life and that life are going to be cursed. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And then a terrible punishment awaits you. تَشْهَدُوا عَلِيمْ أَلْسِنَةُمْ وَأَيْدِيمْ وَأَرْجُلُمْ. And then on that day, your own hands, your own feet would bear witness against you. So, is it the right thing? Must use of the tongue. I explained some students, you know, that in a Bukhari jalsa, so rightly they have a scholarly discussion about the weighing of deeds, right? Should be doing it, and there's a need for it. But not to confine the whole discussion just to that academic level discussion. Because you're talking about deeds and them being weighed. Because our deeds are abstract, not tangible, so how are they going to be weighed, right? So either the register or the person himself, there's a discussion on its own. But what has been totally ignored is what brings about the weight on the scales. You see, now, فَمَنْ تُرَيْ سُورَ النُّورِ فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. For the weight, he is flying. Successful is. هَاوْ مُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَا. You see children, when they got a good report, then see, Abba, see my report. And the report is not good. I think it's still on the post. And here, هَاوْ مُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَا إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَا. Look at my report. I knew that this is a truth, it's a reality. وَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّابِيَا. What a life. What a life after that. So now, see this. Hadith is showing you what will bring about the weight on the scales. So what six things that I've come across, but I just want to share one thing. That will bring about the weight. One is a sukut, silent, remain silent. Silence means don't you pass information, don't receive information. It doesn't concern you. You cannot say, no, I didn't pass information, so I'm not guilty. But you let others' tongues come to you. You didn't pass your tongues, you didn't pass your information, but let others come to you. So you're also guilty for that. See the wrong. So in this hadith of Muaz, there'll be some warns with Muaz. that many people will be thrown into Jahannam on their faces just because of the tongue. Just because of it. The weightiest thing, one of the weightiest things, silence. Like, kuch karna nahi padta. You don't have to do anything. Remain quiet. And you'll get your balance, you'll get your scales heavy. Isn't that a wonderful deal? It's a deal, Allah Ta'ala. Just don't talk unnecessarily. Keep quiet. Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, about 2 years, I was present in the Etikaf with the Shaykh al-Hadith in Saharanpur. So he would say, jitna chaho khao, how much you want to eat, eat. Jitna chaho, tum so jao. Lekin baate na karo, mere pyare baate na karo. Don't talk. Do your work. Don't. Sometimes it's one word, and you'll be losing out. Are you thinking, how can you be losing out? I just give one example, right? When a person is returning from Hajj, people come to visit, isn't it? Came home and also did. So the Hadithab came. So he tells one of his sons, you know that container that I brought in the fourth Hajj, that container of Zamzam that I brought in the fourth Hajj, just bring it here. So one person is observing the whole thing. Hadithab, see, the four Hajjs that you made, you, in one word, everything is gone. What was the need for you to say that container that I brought in the fourth Hajj? Was there a need for saying that? You need to impress upon the person. So in that one sentence, all the sounds are gone. Take care of this. Make intention now. These are big days. And this is the cause of many persons' actions just getting cancelled. La tubtilu sadaqatikum. I mean, your sadaqah, your good works, sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. Again, tongue, bil man. Man means reminders of your generosity. You're cancelling all the good works. Yeah, where he was? We put him up. What's that? It's a reminder of generosity. You think it's a small thing. No. If you did it for Allah Ta'ala, then why did you have to give a reminder? You didn't have to give a reminder. It's purely for Allah Ta'ala that you're supposed to be concealing it. But now you have to go and express the thing, give a reminder of your generosity. As though you're saying that, you know, if I don't remind people, Allah Ta'ala may forget it. So I should keep talking about it, so it's fresh in the books. Do it, neki kar, or darya mein phenk. Do it and forget it. Do it because it's done purely for Allah Ta'ala, then preserve the purity. Don't spoil it. So your deeds are getting canceled. Sometimes adha, hurting people, sometimes reminders of generosity, sometimes useless talks, sometimes impressing, showing off, a whole host of wrongs, sometimes allegations, sometimes information that is not verified. Sometimes it's information, but you're supposed to be concealing the person's fault, and you're advertising the person's fault. So many things, sir. من ستر عن مؤمن ستر الله يوم القيامة ستره الله يوم القيامة. You conceal the faults, Allah Ta'ala will conceal your faults. I ask you, is there anybody seated here who can say that I got no baggage of wrong? Everyone got something, and everybody wants it to be concealed. If you want your deeds to be concealed by Allah Ta'ala, a simple procedure, just conceal the next person's fault. Simple. It'll be doing good here, and it'll be doing good for you in the hereafter. It's my observation. Allah knows best. Observation, what I've seen, right? That those that look after the tongue, that means passing and receiving news, they look after the tongue. Generally, I found that they die very nicely. Nice deaths, good deaths. See, مَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَ. Allah doesn't forget. This person has been taking care of his tongue. So, Allah Pak doesn't forget. He uses his tongue correctly in the right places, and he doesn't abuse, doesn't misuse. So Allah will bless you and see you right at the most crucial moment. That moment that you're leaving the world, that was the most crucial moment. That moment it goes well. I say, is it worth the bargain or not? You restrain. You wanted to swear the person. You wanted to say something. You wanted to retaliate, right? But just for his love, and just for the reward, you said, no, let me hold back. I'll just bite my tongue. I won't say it. Allah grant us all tawfiq.
Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu, wa laka ashukru kullu, wa laka almulku kullu, wa ilayka yurja'u al-amru kullu. Subhanaka la nafsi sanan alayk, antaka ma asnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Sayyidina Ibrahim, wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا اللهم ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا اللهم ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واعف عنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم اجعلنا مخلصين لك وحدنا في كل ساعة في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم رضى عنا رضا لا تسقط عنا بعده أبدا Oh my beloved Allah, forgive all our sins, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, show mercy upon us, O Allah Ta'ala. Allah, we are not worthy of being in your house, O Allah, in your presence, O Allah. It was only your sheer mercy and gift and compassion and mercy and kindness upon us, O Allah, that you freed us, O Allah, and you gave us a place in the best place, O Allah. O Allah, you've done so much for us, O Allah. O Allah, don't send us empty-handed, O Allah. Declare our forgiveness, O Allah. O Allah, we are the worst of sinners in this world, O Allah. O Allah, the problems today are because of our sins, O Allah. O Allah, I'm the worst of them all, O Allah. O Allah, forgive our sins, O Allah. O Allah, we have really let Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam down, O Allah. We have really disappointed you, O Allah. O Allah, but you continued showering your mercy and covering our sins, O Allah. O Allah, forgive us today, O Allah. O Allah, we beg you, O Allah. We admit all the wrong we have done, O Allah. Every sin of ours, O Allah, forgive us, O Allah. O Allah, forgive us. Declare our forgiveness, O Allah. Don't send us empty-handed and disappointed, O Allah. O Allah, you have physically brought us here, O Allah. You have done so much for us, O Allah. Do this much, O Allah. Declare our forgiveness, O Allah. Secure our place out of your sheer mercy and grace, O Allah, in Jannat, O Allah. O Allah, take charge of our future, O Allah. And save us from causing any sin, O Allah. O Allah, save us from causing any sin, O Allah. O Allah, save us from sin, O Allah. O Allah, make us your beloved, O Allah. Set our hearts alight with your love, O Allah. O Allah, make us your beloved, O Allah. O Allah, rid our hearts of all other love, O Allah. O Allah, and O Allah, you take a place in our hearts, O Allah. O Allah, give us a tawfiq and hidayat to please you in every moment and second of our lives, O Allah. O Allah, bless us in every respect, O Allah. O Allah, save us from this tongue, O Allah. The misuse of this tongue, O Allah. O Allah, save us from being amongst those people, O Allah, who on the day of Qiyamah it will be said, Alladheena dalla sa'yuhum. O Allah, save us from that disappointment and bankruptcy, O Allah. O Allah, don't let us be bankrupt on the day of Qiyamah, O Allah. We don't have much, O Allah. Whatever little we have, it was through your sheer grace, O Allah, that you have allowed us to earn it, O Allah. Don't let that much to go, Allah. Allah, you beautify works in the Allah. Allah, you have promised in the Quran Sharif, Allah, that you can even change every sin of ours into a good deed, O Allah. Allah, today my mountain of sin, O Allah, declare it as my good deed, O Allah. Declare our sins as our good deeds, O Allah. Change it, O Allah. Make those angels forget our sins, O Allah. Make every creation of yours forget our sins, O Allah. Make our limbs forget the sins that we have committed, O Allah. O Allah, let them not be an evidence against us on the day of Qiyamah, O Allah. Let them be an evidence in support of us, O Allah. O Allah, you declare our forgiveness, O Allah. O Allah, cover every fault of ours, O Allah. Till today, O Allah, you haven't revealed our weaknesses, O Allah. Only you and I know, O Allah, our weaknesses, O Allah. But you have covered us with honor upon honor, O Allah. O Allah, continue doing this right through till we get into Jannah, O Allah. Sattarika maamla farma, O Allah. O Allah, forgive us, O Allah. We are weak, O Allah. O Allah, continue showering your favors upon us, O Allah. O Allah, give us and bless us with the wealth of shukr, O Allah. O Allah, day and night, O Allah, you are showering us with favors upon favors, favors within favors, favors upon favors, O Allah. O Allah, but we don't appreciate it, O Allah. You are so wasteful, so ungrateful, so inappreciative, O Allah. Forgive us, O Allah. Let this ungratefulness of us not be a means of those favors being snatched away, O Allah. O Allah, for the future, O Allah, bless us with the wealth of shukr, O Allah. Bless us with the hidayat and tawfiq of using these favors in a manner that you will be pleased with us, O Allah. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will smile and be pleased with this ummah, O Allah. O Allah, bless us with this favor, O Allah, of making shukr, O Allah. Let us not prove shaitan truthful, O Allah, and forget to be your grateful servants, O Allah. O Allah, you teach us how to make shukr, O Allah. We want to make your shukr, O Allah. We don't know how to do it, O Allah, in the future. Teach us, O Allah. Guide us, O Allah. Make us your shakirin, O Allah. List us from amongst your grateful servants, O Allah. Like how you have declared certain all the ambiyas as your grateful ambiyas, O Allah. Declare us to, O Allah, in their list that we are your grateful servants, O Allah. O Allah, show mercy upon our condition, O Allah. Today, O Allah, the fitna and the difficulties that the ummah are going, O Allah, it is through my sins and our sins, O Allah. O Allah, you forgive us, O Allah. O Allah, it is our faults and weaknesses, O Allah, that these difficulties have come, O Allah. O Allah, forgive us, O Allah. O Allah, change the conditions of the earth, O Allah. O Allah, bless the earth with serenity, tranquility, peace and ease for every person, O Allah. Change the condition of the earth, O Allah. O Allah, repel all these fitnas, O Allah. Save us from all these fitnas, O Allah. Save our children to come right until the day of Qiyamah from all these fitnas, O Allah. O Allah, you take charge of our affairs in every respect, O Allah. Allahumma waqiyatan kawaqiyatil walid, O Allah. Guide us in every respect, O Allah. Bless us with afiyat in every respect, O Allah. O Allah, be pleased with us, O Allah. O Allah, our parents, O Allah, those amongst them, those of our parents who have passed on, O Allah, grant them the highest ranks in Jannah, O Allah. Whatever their weaknesses and shortfalls may be, O Allah, we beg on their behalf, O Allah. Overlook it, O Allah. You have kept us happy, O Allah. Make them happy, O Allah. O Allah, overlook their weaknesses and grant them the highest ranks in Jannah, O Allah. And those of our parents, O Allah, who are alive, O Allah, grant them afiyat in every respect, O Allah. Make us a coolness of their eyes, O Allah. Make us eligible for their du'as, O Allah. Make it such that we take their du'as rather than asking for their du'as, O Allah. Let them be pleased with us, O Allah. Let them be a means of our Jannah, O Allah. O Allah, all our mashayikh, asatizah, ikram, the musannifins of the kitabs that we have benefited directly, indirectly, whoever may have benefited us in our deen or dunya in any way, O Allah, those from amongst them, O Allah, who are alive, O Allah, grant them afiyat in every respect, O Allah. Those from amongst them who have passed on, O Allah, you reward them, O Allah, the highest of reward, O Allah. Grant them jannatul firdaus, O Allah. Keep them happy. Make every moment in the hereafter a happier moment for them, O Allah. Bless them in every respect, O Allah, and be pleased with them, O Allah. Overlook their shortfalls, O Allah, whatever it may have been, O Allah. O Allah, our Hazrat, O Allah, his parents, his household, his progeny to come right until the day of Qiyamah, O Allah. Be pleased with them, O Allah. Grant them afiyat in every respect, O Allah. Those from amongst his household who have passed on, O Allah. You honor them, O Allah. You grant them the highest ranks in Jannah, O Allah. It is through their efforts, O Allah, that we are enjoying all this, O Allah. You honor them in every respect, O Allah. Be pleased with them, O Allah. O Allah, keep us in the shadow of Hazrat all the time, O Allah. Keep him with afiyat in every respect, O Allah. O Allah, keep our elders pleased with us, O Allah. O Allah, save us from disrespecting them. Save us from disappointing them, O Allah. O Allah, we are a disappointment, we are an embarrassment to them, O Allah. Forgive us, O Allah. You have afforded us this opportunity, O Allah. Teach us the etiquettes of this path, O Allah. Teach us the respect and the etiquettes of this path and teach us how to benefit, O Allah. We don't know what this is, O Allah. We have mocked this science, O Allah. We have mocked this path, O Allah. But you have afforded us, O Allah. Forgive us, O Allah. For the future, O Allah, take charge of our affairs, O Allah, and allow us to benefit, O Allah, in every respect, O Allah. O Allah, be pleased with us, O Allah. O Allah, the jamaats, wherever they may be working, O Allah, towards the istima, whatever effort they may be making, O Allah, O Allah, you crown the effort with acceptance, O Allah. You make the effort materialize, O Allah. Grant them more than what they anticipate of you, O Allah. Take charge of all their affairs and crown it with acceptance, O Allah. The khanka, the madarises, madrasas, whatever difficulties and whatever they might be trying to achieve, O Allah, you grant them more than what they anticipate of you, O Allah. Remove all the difficulties, O Allah. O Allah, you honor them and grant them the full reward, O Allah. Grant us a share in their reward, O Allah. O Allah, change the conditions of the earth, O Allah. O Allah, take charge of all our affairs, O Allah. O Allah, us and our household, O Allah. Bless us and adorn us with the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah. Bless us with the sunnah dressing of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's household, O Allah. O Allah, rid all other ways out of our homes, O Allah. Create a disgust in our hearts for all other ways, O Allah. Kamil sunnat par kamil ittiba naseeb farma, O Allah. Aur usi par hamari maut aa jaye, O Allah. Right until our last breath, O Allah. Let us be in the condition that we are practicing some sunnat, O Allah. O Allah, you make the day we have to leave this world, O Allah, the happiest days of our life, O Allah. O Allah, you make it a day that we are rejoicing, O Allah. People around us are crying, O Allah. But you know, O Allah, you make it such, O Allah, that we are rejoicing and we are happy, O Allah. It's the happiest day of our lives, O Allah. O Allah, you make it such, O Allah, that every manzil thereafter, O Allah, is a breeze and ease, O Allah. Let it be that, O Allah, we are from those class of servants that you have exempted from Hisab Kitab, O Allah. We just find ourselves like how today you have honored us in every respect, O Allah, and given us a place in your home, O Allah. You just directly take us without any checks and difficulties into Jannah, O Allah. O Allah, you can do it for us, O Allah. No one can question you, O Allah. O Allah, there is no procedure when it comes. O Allah, you can do what you wish, O Allah. O Allah, no one can question you, O Allah. O Allah, exempt us from all those trials and difficulties, O Allah. O Allah, honor us in this world and the hereafter, O Allah. O Allah, you have kept us so comfortable and so honorable in this worldly life, O Allah. O Allah, do that for the future and our life to come, O Allah, in the hereafter, O Allah. O Allah, you be with us every moment of our lives, O Allah. O Allah, all those who have asked for du'as, O Allah, whatever difficulties or whatever aspirations they may have, O Allah, you bless them, O Allah, remove their difficulties, O Allah. Those that are sick and ailing, O Allah, you grant them kamil shifa, O Allah. Let it be a cleansing process for them, O Allah, and elevate their stages, O Allah. O Allah, those whoever, whatever need they may have, O Allah, you grant them more than what they anticipate of you, O Allah. O Allah, be pleased with us, O Allah. O Allah, give us the tawfiq and hidayah to appreciate these future moments, O Allah. Whatever you have kept in store for us, O Allah, for the future of our lives, O Allah. O Allah, you grant us the tawfiq and hidayah, O Allah, to appreciate every moment, O Allah. Let every moment be such, O Allah, that your happiness, your love for us is increasing all the time, O Allah. O Allah, your love, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love is increasing for us all the time, O Allah. O Allah, save us from any form of disrespect, O Allah. Save us from any form of disappointment to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min kulli khayr. Ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharri masta'azaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Wa sallallahu ala khayri khalqihi sayyiduna Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.